Shalom to all. Today's Avzur Shalom Sachem Dav Yud Zayin, and we're starting Tesayin Omer Beis about two lines off from the bottom with the words Hasar Chagai Kumi Rabbi Yosa, and the Vilchos Daf is right at the beginning of Tesav Vomit Aleph. And today's Avzur sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Meirim Sarah Basir Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. Now we're right in the middle of a sugya. There's a Mishnah Maseches Gittin regarding an Eved who's an Apotiki for a loan, meaning he was designated to be used as the payback for the loan. Then he was freed by his master, and Tanakhama the Mishnah said that even though he's free, he has to still pay his own value to the one who lost out. And Rav and Reichen argued who's allowed to free him. Rav holds that both Reuven and Shimon have the ability to free this Eved. Again, Reuven's the one who borrowed money from Shimon and made his Eved as the Apotiki to be used as loan payback. Both of them are allowed to free the Eved according to Rav. Even Shimon, who's not the real master, he just has a Shibud on the Eved. Still, he's allowed to free him. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan argued that it's only Reuven, the real master, but not Shimon. Because of what we just said, he only has a Shibud on the Eved, it's not really his, so he's not allowed to free him. Now, it seems to be the Machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is whether the fact that Rabbi Achron, Shimon, who has a Shibud on the Eved, is now given the halachic right to free him. So the Gemara tells us, Hazar Rabbi Chagai Kurim Rabbi Yosa, Rabbi Chagai asked in front of Rabbi Yosa, Masnisa Pli Al Rav. The following Braisa seems clearly not to be like Rav, and obviously a question on him. Yudzai Nomad Alpha on top, what does the Braisa say? Yisrael Shalvas Anachri Al Chametzoi, that a Yid who lent money to a guy for his Chametz, which means the guy's Chametz is Meshubit to be used to pay back the loan, La Acher Pesach Mutter Banoya, after Pesach, this Chametz is Mutter Banoya, which basically means it wasn't considered to be in the Rishus of the Yid. Now, in Tame Rishus Yisrael, who Yehei Aser, if you want to say that it is considered to be in the Rishus of the Yid, then it should be Aser, because Chametz Pesach. And according to Rav, it should be Aser, because he seems to hold that if a person has a Shibud on something, it's considered to be in his Rishus. And therefore, the fact that the Yisrael has a Shibud on this Chametz should make it like the Yid's Chametz, and it should be Aser because of Chametz Shalva Pesach. The Gemara asks Ma'avad LaRav, what does Rav do with this? This is a great question. The answer is, Reuven explains, the Kalhu B'Shechur. They were much more makel when it comes to Shechur. In other words, we're misunderstanding Rav. Rav doesn't hold that just because you have a Shibud on something, it's considered yours. It's specifically when we're talking about Shechur of an Eved that we're much more makel. Kadon Tony, just like the following Braisa, Ha'isa Avde Apitiki. If a person makes an Eved as an Apitiki, it's meant to be used as loan payback. Machroi Einu Machr. If he sells his Eved, it's not considered sold. Washechroi Harezim Shachrur. If he frees him, then he is considered free. As we see from his Braisa very clearly, that when this Eved is an Apitiki, he's not able to sell him because it's Meshubid for the loan, and it's only when he frees him, he's considered free. Why is that? It's only because once it's done, people are already talking about this guy like a free man. Wouldn't want to now take it back and say that really he is an Eved, because then there's going to be a laws on his kids that they're not kosher. Therefore, once he's free, the Chacham validate it. And the same thing applies over here when Shimon frees him, says Rav. Even though all Shimon has on this Eved is just a Shibud, still we're much more makel when it comes to freeing an Eved, and he's considered free. But again, in every other case of Shibud, it's not considered like that thing is in the person's Rishus. Now this is all in Shitas Rav. What about Shitas Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara tells us, Chaylad Rabbi Yochanan min Ada, the Kayach, meaning the Raya for Rabbi Yochanan, he comes from the following Shita, which is the second one in the Mishnah that we quoted. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Eino Kosev Ela Meshachrer, Eved doesn't have to pay for being freed. It's the one who freed him who has to pay for freeing him. Now, according to Rav, why would the Meshachrer have to pay for freeing the Eved? It's not 100% Shechrer, as we just explained. It's a Kanad Rabbanon. Once there's a shame about him that he's already a free man, so we let him go free. But since it's not 100% Shechrer, it makes sense that the Eved himself has to pay his own value. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not saying that. He's telling us that the one who freed him has to pay for him. It must be like Rabbi Yochanan, that the only one that's allowed to free this Eved is Rabbi Rishon, Reuven, the guy who really owns him, and since he is 100% halachically allowed to free the Eved doesn't have to pay for that. Reuven has to pay Shimon for freeing the Eved, now preventing Shimon from collecting his debt from the Eved. Now, the Gemara asks on this, Ilam Meshabit Sadal Chaveroi, if a person had to feel those Meshubit to his friend to be used as loan payback, Vahalachu Machra, and then he went and sold it, Shema Ein Baal Chayv Bava Tarif, what, do you think the Baal Chayv is not allowed to come and take it away from the guy who bought it? Of course he's allowed to. This is a classic case where Reuven borrows money from Shimon, his field is Meshubit, he sells it to Levi, Shimon just goes and takes that field away from Levi. So why don't we say the same thing in the case of Eved? Just because Reuven freed the Eved, why does he now have to pay the Eved's value to Shimon? Why can't Shimon just take the Eved as payment? This former Eved's walking around, Shimon should walk up to him, grab him, put him in handcuffs, and say, look, buddy, you're Meshubit to pay back a loan, so now I'm taking you as my Eved. Why can't he do that, just like in the case of the field? As Omer Vovo says, Pasach Lona Rabbi Yochanan Pesach Meir Ka'ira. Rabbi Yochanan opened up an opening for us that gives us a bright light, namely, Loi Matsanu Eved Meshtacher V'chayzer Meshtabed. We never found that an Eved gets freed and he could be Meshubit again after that. In other words, the same way that once an Eved is freed 100%, he can't be sold as an Eved anymore, so too when this Eved was freed, even though he's Meshubit to be used as loan payback, he's still 100% free, and therefore the only thing we could do is say that Shimon is able to collect the value, but not the Eved himself. Now the Gemara continues asking Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, Me'atav is really so, Lo'echtav Shal Damav, so then the Eved shouldn't have to pay for his own value. If you're saying, as we just explained, Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, that when Reuven frees the Eved, he's considered 100% halachically free, so why is it that in the same breath, Rabbi Yochanan says, but what the Eved has to pay for himself. If he's free because Reuven was allowed to do that, why does the Eved have to pay for that? And the answer is, Amar Avila, Avila says, Mutav Shiyomer Loi, tell me Musayim Zuz Shesh Lubiyadecha, Val Yomer Loi Avdiyata. It's better for this guy to be told, give me 200 Zuz, as opposed to being told, you're my Eved. In other words, it's like what we explained previously, they were afraid that even though the Eved is 100% halachically free, the Shimon is going to say, you're my Eved, because remember, he was Meshubbat to be used as loan payback, so therefore this guy would rather just pay to uphold his own name and not be told, you're my Eved, you're my Eved. We continue discussing Rabbanan Kesaron and Sebashim Rab Nasa, Asr Rab Shimon Gamliel, Kirab Meir. Rab Shimon Gamliel of the Mishnah is like Rab Meir. Namely, Rab Shimon who holds that the master has to pay, not the Eved, but the master, and that's even though it's a grumma, his halachic right to free the Eved was just the cause of a loss for Shimon, but there was no Maisa Biyadayim. He holds like Rav Meir. Kamad Rav Meir, Kanes Bidvarim, Kain Rav Shimon Gamliel, Kanes Bidvarim, just like Rav Meir, Knasses, even when there's just Dvarim, there's just words, so to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Tani, we have a Braisa, Shtar Shiesh by Ribbis. If a Shtar has Ribbis written in it, let's say Beryl was borrowing from Shmerel, and they wrote that he has to pay interest, he has to pay Ribbis, and that was written inside the Shtar, Kain Sunoise, we can ask him, Ve'eno Goyva Loisa Karen Veloisa Ribbis, Div Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that the lender, Shmerel, is not only not allowed to collect the Ribbis, he's not even allowed to collect the Karen, the principal amount of the loan. Or so Chamer, the Chamer say, Goyva Karen, Ve'eno Goyva Loisa Ribbis, he could collect the principal amount of the loan, just not the Ribbis, not the interest. So we see from here that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, like Rav Meir, that even though there wasn't a Maisa Biyadayim done, nonetheless, we'll canass a person to make him lose out. And we explain the final part of the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says that Kol She'ena Kelv Yachal Chapis Achrov, if a dog is not able to search after his Chametz, he's not able to get it, so it's considered like it's Mavur. This is in reference to the case where Mapoilas, let's say a wall, collapsed on Chametz, so it's considered like it's Mavur. And the question is, Ad Eichon, until where does the Chametz have to be? What does that mean that a dog is not able to search after it? And it says Rav Abban quotes Rav Yechon, who says, Rav Shimon Ben Yitzadok, Ad Shlosha Tfachim, up until three Tfachim, once it's buried under a pile of three Tfachim, or let's say it's three Tfachim under the ground, that's something ready the dog can't get. It's considered like Mavur, nothing else has to be done to it. And Mugant Allah Gemel, the Mishnah says, Ha'echel Trumas Chametz with Pesach. A person ate Trumas Chametz on Pesach. So it wasn't just regular Chametz, it was Truma. And because that really depends. Shagig, if he ate it inadvertently, Misham Karen Chaimesh, he has to pay a Karen and an added Chaimesh, which is usually what happens when a person eats Truma B'Shagig. He pays a Karen and Chaimesh, that which he ate and an added fifth. Whereas Maze, if he ate it on purpose, Potter Menat Ashlumin with Me'etim, he's Potter from payment and from Me'etim. We'll explain this in a moment. Let's just go back to Shagig and clarify this first. We know that when Truma is eaten B'Shagig, we don't look at the value. We look at what was eaten. So if he ate an apple, he replaces it with an apple, and that new apple takes on the din of Truma. And therefore, even though over here he ate Chametz on Pesach, and we know that that has no value, since it's Truma, we don't care about it. We just look at what was eaten, and he replaces that what she ate. It takes on the din of Truma, and that's a Karen and a Chaimesh. However, when it comes to Mezid, it's different. We look at the value of what he ate. And since Chametz has no value on Pesach, therefore he doesn't have to pay anything back, and that's even Dmei Eitzim. What does it mean, Dmei Eitzim? So we know the Truma, which is Tamei, is able to be used by the Kayin as firewood. For example, if it's oil, he could put that in his lamp and burn it and benefit like that. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that not only does he not have to pay for the value of that which he ate when he did it b'mezid, because again, it doesn't have value, he doesn't even have to pay for the value that it would be as eitzim, as firewood, because since one's not allowed to even benefit from chametz on Pesach, the Kayin wouldn't be allowed to take tamei truma and burn it on Pesach and benefit from it because it's chametz. So if this person who ate truma's chametz b'mezid on Pesach doesn't have to pay even one penny. And the Gemara's Yudzayin based on top tells us, Tani Rav Shimon Elazar Omer Mishum Rav Shimon Yitzadok Masnisa. What's our Mishnah referring to? B'shei Frisha Matzah. It's where he separated, he designated this truma as matzah when it's chamtza, and then it became chametz afterwards. Aval and Frisha Chametz loy b'da. But if he separated it as chametz, that's not what we're referring to, because trying to designate chametz as truma doesn't work in the first place. Truma has to be able to be eaten, and since he's trying to designate chametz on Pesach as truma, and you can't eat chametz on Pesach, so it's not considered truma at all. Therefore, Amish is not referring to that. It's only referring to something that had the din of truma, which means it was first matzah, it was kashal Pesach, it was perfectly fine, it was allowed to be eaten, and then it became chametz. So that's a whole discussion in the Mishnah, that there's a difference between eating and b'shagig or mezid. Now, we have more cases regarding this. Hefresh matzah al chametz. Let's say he separated matzah as truma, and it was supposed to be truma for chametz, which means he had matzah and chametz, and the chametz didn't have truma taken off of it yet, so he designated some matzah to be truma for the chametz. What's the din over here? Amar Zuri tells us, call truma she'ena matzah zah shirayim l'achila, ain't a truma. That any truma, which doesn't matter the shirayim, the leftovers, the remnants, to be allowed to be eaten, that's not truma. That's based off of Joshua from a pasuk, and that's applied to over here. Even though the truma itself is able to be eaten, because the thing that's being designated as truma is matzah, since he's trying to potter up chametz, and the chametz is the shirayim, that can't be eaten because it's Pesach, so even the matzah itself that he's trying to make truma is not valid, it's not truma at all. And we take this one step further, afilu hefresh chametz al matzah, even if he designated chametz for matzah. Over here, the shirayim, the remnants, the things that are being pottered up by the truma, they are able to be eaten because they're matzah. Still, it's not valid truma, and why is that? Because Amar Zuri explains, ma'achar she'ilu mina aleha ain't a truma. If he wanted to separate from its min on itself, itself, it wouldn't be valid truma. If he tried to take this thing that he's designating as truma, the chametz, and separate from it, meaning chametz for chametz, it wouldn't work. So v'afilu himenu l'makom acher ain't a truma. Even trying to use it to be truma for something else, meaning chametz for matzah, it's still not truma. Now the Gemara brings two separate cases, which both have similar outcomes. And the idea in both of them is that we have two separate isurim, and whether or not both isurim are chal or just one. And here's the first case, which discusses challah. We know there's only a chiv to take challah off of a dough if it has 5/4 of a kav of flour. Once we have this dough, which has 5/4 of a kav of flour, then it's chayv and challah, which means that it's tevel. It's usher to eat because it doesn't have the challah separated. And so the Gemara quoting a brisa tells us, a person made a dough of 4/4 of a kav, put that to the side, and it became chametz. This is referring to on Pesach. Then he made another dough, a separate one, of 4/4 of a kav, and put that to the side. Now these two doughs by themselves are not chayv and challah because they're only 4/4 of a kav and not 5/4. And then what did he do? Ve'irvan, he mixed them together. So now we have a dough which is 8/4 of a kav, which is basically 2 kav, and it's v'shor chayv and challah. And we technically have 2 isurim over here. One, we have the isur of chametz, and 2 is the isur of tevel. Now that there's a chiv of challah, he can't eat from it until he separates challah. And the question is, what would he be chayv for? The answer is, im hisruba mishum eichel tevel, einoy loike, mishum eichel chametz pesach, loike. If they warned him, don't eat this because it's tevel, and he eats it, he's not going to get malchus for that. Whereas if they warned him, don't eat it because it's chametz on Pesach, then he will get malchus. Why is that? Because iser chamer chal iser kal, vein iser kal chal iser chamer. A chamer iser could be added on to a more makel iser, but a more makel iser can't be added on to more chamer iser. What was the iser that we had first over here? The iser of chametz, which is a more chamer iser. It comes with the chiv of kares. The second iser that came along was the fact that now this dough is tevel because it's chayv and challah, and that's only a chiv misa b'dei shemayim, which is on a lower level in a chiv kares, and that iser can't be chal on our already existing iser of the fact that he's not allowed to eat it because it's chametz. Therefore, he's only going to get malchus for eating it because it's chametz, not because it's tevel and it didn't have the chal separated. Avol says the brisa, im irvan v'chachimtzon. If he first mixed these doughs together and then they became chametz, so then im hisruba mishum eichel tevel loike, mishum eichel chametz pesach loike. It doesn't make a difference what they warned him about. If they warned him, don't eat this because tevel, he's going to get malchus. Or if they said, don't eat it because chametz pesach, he's going to get malchus there also. Why? For the same reason. Iser chamer chal iser kal, vein iser kal chal iser chamer. A more stringent iser could be added on to a lighter iser, but not the other way around. And over here, first the lighter iser was relevant because he had mixed the doughs together. They were chayv and challah. That's the lighter iser that comes along with the chiv misa b'dei shemayim. And only then it became chametz, which is a much more chamer iser of kares. Therefore, we're able to add that on, tack it on, and we have 2 isurim now that he could be chayv for. And here's on to discussion number 2, which is the same thing. Also, Kri, he made a pile of produce, but it's not chayv and truma yet because there was no meruach. He didn't smooth out the pile. So it's not considered to have reached gemar malacha that it's chayv and truma ma'aser. And what did he do? Vishtachav Allah, he bowed down to it, treating it as avodah zara. And then, umir chay, he smoothed it out, now making a chayv and truma ma'aser. V'achar kach achlay, and then he ate from it. So im hisruba mishuma eichel tevel, and you like it. If they warned him, don't eat this because it's tevel, it's chayv and truma ma'aser, he's not going to get malchus. But mishuma eichel avodah zara, like it. If they warned him, don't eat this because it's avodah zara, then he's going to get malchus. Why is that? Same reason. Isr chamer chal isr kal, vein isr kal chal isr chamer. A more chamer iser could be added on to a light iser, but a lighter iser can't be added on to chamer iser. And here the chamer iser of avodah zara came before the lighter iser of that it's chayv and truma, and therefore even if they warn him don't eat it because tevel, he's not going to get malchus for that because that iser wasn't chal. Avol, however, if it was the other way around, in mirchay he first smoothed it out being mechayv in truma, then he bowed down to it, asering it because of avodah zara. So im isruba mishum eichel tevel like it, mishum avodah zara like it. Doesn't make a difference what the warning was. Then it's tevel or it's avodah zara, he's going to get malchus. And why is that? Iser chamer chal iser kal, vein iser kal chal iser chamer. Then a more chamer iser could take effect on a lighter iser, but a lighter iser can't take effect on a more chamer iser. And over here, the lighter iser took place first, once again, which is the iser of eating tevel, which only comes along with chiv misa b'dei shemayim, and only afterwards came along the iser of avodah zara, which is much more chamer, and therefore he can be chayv malchus for either or. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow. Continue to talk about eating trumas chametz on Pesach. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.